1 Corinthians 10, we talked about this last week, but I want to continue it a bit. So chapter 10, 1 Corinthians, verse 13. No temptation, same word for trial. Trial or temptation, same Greek word. Or proving, test, trial, proving, or temptation, same Greek thought. No temptation or trial has overtaken you, except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted or tested or tried above what you are able. But with the temptation, trial, or test, will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Amen. First of all, it's not that God's given you the temptation. He doesn't tempt people. The devil tempts people. God would never tempt you toward evil or toward suffering or toward something that doesn't apply to his will, meaning something not good. He would never do that, but he knows what temptations are coming and what trials are headed your way and what tests the world and the devil's throwing at you. And with that, he's also going to make the way of escape. The world and the devil and this life is sending you tests, trials, and temptations. God's sending you the way of escape.
Glory. Amen. Thank you,
Lord. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you will face, he's got a way for you to overcome, sidestep, endure through, or completely obliterate. If it's a mountain in your way, it's possible you can make it disappear into the water. He might need you to climb the mountain or go around the mountain, but sometimes you can just say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and that thing will just disappear. So you need to find out how this way of escape works for you so that you are never in a place feeling like you're stuck, never stuck in bondage, never overcome with trial or even temptation to sin. You're never overcome to the point that you can't escape. There's a way out for you.
Amen.
And I'm not talking about taking your life early or something weird like that. There's a way out for you to have victory over
Glory.
The problem.
Glory.
Okay, so he will always make a way of escape. So I guarantee whatever trouble you have, there's a way out.
Amen.
Now, it's going to require a couple things, okay? It's not just a There's no magic wand. We don't have any magic wands hidden behind the stage that we can just pull out and fix it necessarily. The power of God can fix things. The wisdom of God can fix things. The word of God can fix things. You following direction from God can fix things. So which way do I go to escape to get out of these woods? Well, if you follow him, he'll lead you out of the woods. So there's some requirement on your part, all right? So you're going to have to know the answer and the way of escape, and then take a step of faith into that. And so we identified a few things last week about him making a way for certain things. A lot of it has to do with you praying in tongues so that you can know the way. He's got a way for you, but if you don't pray in tongues, you will not know it sometimes.
Right.
And then you're gonna have to obey. Part of the way of escape is you're gonna have to quit carrying your trial with you.
Uh-huh.
Quit holding it in your soul. Quit thinking so much. You know, your soul is so heavy with the thoughts of all this challenge, you're going to have to lay that aside.
Amen.
You'll never get through it if you're going to carry it around with you. You're going to have to give that to God. You're going to have to cast your care to the Lord if you're ever going to get free. He's made a way of escape, and it begins with you stopping worrying.
Right.
You cannot worry and escape.
Amen.
You cannot be anxious and worried and fretful and also escape. You can't worry your way out of the woods. You have to toss your worry aside, pray in tongues, get the strength and power to get through the woods.
Amen.
All right. The bottom line is this. You're going to have to do the will of God. If you'll think of it as, okay, in this condition, this challenge that I'm facing, what is the will of God right here? Because success always begins with the will of God. Success begins with you doing the will of God. If you're a sinner in bondage to Satan, you must do the will of God. What's the will of God? Receive his son.
That's right.
You're going to have to hear about his son, and then you're going to have to respond in faith and do the will of God, which is to lay down your life and receive Christ. Simple as that, right? And then, bam, you escape the bondage of Satan right there. All right, so that's the will of God. You're going to have to do the will of God if you're going to escape the trouble you're in. There's no other way than the will of God. Well, that seems kind of hard. Is there any other way? No other way. The Bible says, he who does the will of God abides forever. John 9, after the fellow gets healed from blindness, he made this statement that's true. He said, you know, we know that if anybody be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him God hears. So God will hear you if you do his will. You want God to answer your prayer, your distress signal? Okay, be a person that's willing to do his will.
Amen.
Turn to Psalm 37. So you will never be tempted or tried above what you can handle.
Wow.
Some people turn that and twist that into this idea, God will never give me more than I can handle. He's almost crushed me to this point, but maybe I can handle it because he'll never give me more than I can handle. No, God has not put the weight on you. He has not crushed you to the point of almost dying. You can't think that way. It's not that God some people say this, that he only gives the big test and trials to those he know can handle it. No, don't do that to God. You've tied both hands behind your back. You don't even know who your helper is. God is not the one challenging you to give up on your faith or your family or yourself. He's not the one tempting you to sin and disappear. He's not the one tempting you to lose heart. Never. So don't do that. He will never allow you to be tempted above what you can handle. And he has not planned this temptation. He has not planned this test or trial for you. That's not how it works. It's not how it works. He knew the test and trial may be coming. He also will never let your escape route be harder than your trial. You'll always have a way out.
Amen.
He'll always make a way out.
Right.
The way out is usually pretty simple.
Yeah. Right.
It's a lot more simple than your brain can figure out. We got this, I don't know how it could ever possibly, yeah, well, if you found God's will, man, it'd be so easy. It's like, oh, a secret way out. There's a secret passage out of this thing. So whatever you're going through, you're going to have to find a way to trust God and find his will, and then bam, there's a miracle. Bam, there's the power. Bam, there's a deliverance and a comfort and a peace that passes all understanding. And wow, look what God has done. God will come through every single time. You'll find the strength you need. You'll find the grace you need. It will totally eliminate all of that chaos and angst that goes on inside you if you can find the way. It's not hard to find the way. Most of you already know the way. Psalm 37 here. Psalm 37, we'll start with verse 37. Mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace. The future of that man is peace. So I want you to notice the upright, that's the righteous. Okay, so you're righteous in Christ. Mark that man, because your future is peace. All right, so if you're in Christ, your tomorrow and next week is peace. Absolutely. Verse 39, the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Got any trouble? Hey, no problem. He's your strength. So you're strong now. Out of weakness, we're made strong. In your weakness, you'll be made strong.
Amen.
He'll turn that weakness and you'll be strong. So don't ever get to thinking that you're so weak. No. In your trouble, he'll make you strong. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. God will help you. He'll save you. He'll deliver you. Every single time, no matter what you're facing. It could be legal trouble, financial trouble, health trouble, relationship trouble, child trouble, parent trouble, grandparent trouble. It can be car trouble. He'll save you from fear and anxiety and evil and any kind of destruction you're facing. All tragedy, he will help you and he will deliver you and he will save you. And if the tragedy already happened, he can reverse the damage. Just, you'll have to find the way of escape. You'll have to find the way, but he'll do it every time. Psalm 50. Psalm 50. Verse 15. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. There you go. You got any trouble? Call upon him. He'll deliver you. And then it'll be really fun, really exciting, and you'll get to glorify God. You'll get to say, look what God did. Psalm 71. Come on, this is the year of help anyway. Might as well get some help from God. Come on, some of your troubles need to end this year. Come on, if he's emphasized help this year, you might as well get some trouble to end this year. Don't carry it any further than this year. Matter of fact, before the mid-year, might as well get your troubles fixed. Psalm 71, verse 1. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. There you go. So you can pray these words. So this is a good way to start praying, sure. And then we're going to get to some solution stuff. I mean, you're already hearing some of it. But you can pray these words, but then you better start believing them. You better start trusting. Did you really put your trust in him? Okay, so after you prayed, you put your trust and you go to work. Are you still worried? Well, I don't know what you're... Okay. And then you get in your car to come home. Is that when the worry hits? Oh, yeah, I got lots of stuff to worry about. Cause me to escape, incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually. You've given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Praise the Lord. We didn't read it. Psalm 39, verse 8 says, deliver me from all my transgressions. You can pray that. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Do you have any transgressions you need to be delivered from? Start with just asking the Lord, deliver me from this transgression. And then he's going to say, okay, I will. Now do X, Y, Z. And doing is not just a flesh or carnal command. Doing is something in the will of God that you stand on, obey because you believe it. There's power there. And then through the Spirit, you can overcome all the flesh. If you, through the Spirit, mortify the deeds of the flesh, you'll live. So he's given you the word, he's given you the command, he's given you the will of God that you can do. And as soon as you do it, there's a miracle. If you're having trouble doing it, the Holy Spirit, through him, you can do it.
Amen.
What do you mean, through the Spirit? Yeah, it doesn't mean just sing a song. It means to pray in tongues, get the power, connect with the Spirit, and follow him. Being infused with divine power from God. And if you're not going to know how to function with the Holy Spirit power, it'll be more difficult to simply just do the will of God.
Right.
He'll always make a way, and that way does include the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You will need a fellowship with the Holy Ghost, a relationship with the Holy Ghost. You'll need the empowerment from the Holy Ghost, and you'll need to know how to tap into that power in times of desperation. Praying in tongues. God's always going to work with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If it took the Word and the Spirit to create the universe, it's going to take the Word and the Spirit to fix your problem, to give you power, to infuse you with divine
Amen.
Juice.
Glory.
Like you need to get juiced up. You hear about athletes, they're juicing. Spirit-filled Christians ought to be juicing.
Right.
And I'm not talking about your little machine in the kitchen. I'm talking about you juicing with the Holy Ghost. You start juicing, man, you'll get some supernatural strength that'll put you up and over.
Amen.
Go to Psalm 91. Psalm 91, this is after David says a bunch of great words about how God's going to protect him and help him in times of trouble. And then God's going to speak back. God's going to speak back. To and through David, verse 14, Psalm 91:14. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him.
Glory.
I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now this is where God's going to, I mean, this is his bond. He's said some, he's made some promises he will keep. This is his bond. Because you and I have set our love upon him, therefore he'll deliver us. He'll deliver you.
Amen.
He'll set us on high because we've known his name. We'll call upon him and God will answer us. God will be with us in trouble. He will deliver us and honor us. With long life, he'll satisfy us and show us his salvation. This needs to be like permanent in your heart.
Amen.
And if you got this in your heart, there is nothing that can move you. Nothing should be able to move you. No evil tidings should move you. No trouble should move you. I mean, if it moves you for just 30 seconds, that's fine. And then you cast your care, you pray, you trust God, you call upon him. Bam, it's all over.
Right.
30 seconds, all you get to be scared. 3 seconds. Matter of fact, you don't ever have to be scared. If you catch yourself being scared, you're supposed to stop it immediately. You should never have to be scared. No report can scare you.
That's right.
No report. No evil tidings should ever scare you. Never, never, never. Your first thought should be, wait a second. Hold on, hold on, hold on. Nobody panic. Nobody panic. God will be with me in trouble. He'll give us a way of escape. Just everybody hang in there. Hold on, hold on, hold on. No need to panic, right? Praise the Lord. Come on, this is the life of a faith Christian. There's no such thing as a non-faith Christian. If you're a Christian, you had to have faith to become one. Now, walking by faith and living by faith, there are some Christians who don't live by faith and don't walk by faith. They don't have faith toward God for life. They have faith toward God for salvation of the soul and forgiveness of sins, but they don't have faith toward God for life and for living and for walking. So you got to learn that he's got answers for every step of life that you take can be done in the will of God with his help. Every step, for every trouble, there's a way. Some people don't know it, and so they miss out because they don't know that they've inherited all things through Christ. They don't know what they've got. It's all right here. So when you and I find what's in here, we put it in our heart and we connect to God with it, and then we've got answers. Miracles happen, power happens, deliverance happens, and you escape trouble. How committed to it are we? That kind of dictates our escape route. So let's talk about it. Psalm 119, how important this word is. Psalm 119, every year we'll go through this. I'm not going to do it tonight. Every year we go through Psalm 119. It's probably my favorite psalm, but it highlights how important the word of God is. It shows David's love towards God's word, and it's the longest book of the Bible. I mean, it's got more verses than any other book of the Bible. Psalm 119, verse 105 says this, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." So if you're stuck in the woods and lost and confused, guess what you need? If you're in a situation you don't know what to do, what do you need? You need his word. His word will show the way. His word will light your path. His word will help you take the next step and give you direction for the escape route. You'll need his word to get out of any trouble that you're in. All that means is go find what God has said about your condition, about your situation. Rehearse it to yourself and then make a request to God concerning it and then walk away thanking God for it, knowing that he heard you, knowing he will deliver you.
Amen.
According to his word. Look at Psalm 119, verse 170. "Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. God will deliver you according to his word. Don't act like your condition is something mysterious or unique or nobody's ever had this trouble before. This, my situation, is so complex, I just need God to help me. He will, according to his word on your condition, according to his word on the matter you're facing. It's in here somewhere. 99.9% of your troubles already said, already covered. Oh, no, but I got legal trouble. It doesn't say anything about legal trouble. Oh, it does. Oh, it does. He will uphold you in your integrity. There's all sorts of little scriptures that will cover everything you're dealing with. 99.9%. I'm trying to think of something it doesn't cover. Lord, my trouble has to do with a man named... Well, that man may not be in the Bible, but what he's doing might be. There's plenty of scriptures that talk about how to deal with people. We skipped them, but they say, deliver me from my enemies. Isaiah 43:16 says, the Lord makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters. Look at Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs 2, talking about wisdom. This is where wisdom becomes personified, turned into a person. And wisdom is sometimes your way of escape. You need to know what to do and when to do it. You need the solution to your problem. He needs to tell you that solution, and then bam, there's your way. So you're going to have to get real close to wisdom if you're going to escape some of your troubles. Verse 2, Proverbs 2:2, incline your ear to wisdom. And then skip to verse 10. When wisdom enters your heart, knowledge is pleasant to your soul. Discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, those who leave the paths of uprightness. To deliver you from peer pressure, you're going to need some wisdom. To deliver you from evil pressure, you're going to need some wisdom. So sometimes when you're saying, God, help me, he's trying to get wisdom to you. How do you get wisdom? The world says you get wisdom by living a long time and making tons of mistakes. Well, that's one way to get some wisdom, but actually before you make all the mistakes, you could get wisdom to avoid those mistakes. You can get wisdom straight from God. Some people have a lot of common sense. They're born with it. Other people need to ask God for some common sense. If you lack common sense, you need to ask the Lord for some common sense. There's some natural common sense that we would call wisdom. You need it. There's social wisdom. You need some social wisdom to know how to deal with people. Some people have it kind of naturally. Other people need to ask God for some social wisdom. Yeah. If you have trouble in relationships, you need to begin to ask God to give you some wisdom in people. There's people wisdom you need. How to be social, how to talk, how to communicate. And then there's spiritual wisdom that you're certainly going to need. There's spiritual wisdom from God that can help you know which scripture to quote, which scripture to pray, what scripture to obey, how to connect the dots, how to follow the Spirit. There's spiritual wisdom that you're going to need if you're going to escape your troubles. And so once the wisdom enters you, it will deliver you from the way of evil. Praise the Lord. I'll just quote this one. 2 Peter 2:9 says, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Out of temptations. He knows how to deliver you out of temptations. You'll need to exercise some wisdom. You'll have to obey some wisdom, but there's a way for you. There's escape. You can escape bad relationships. Let's say people not married that are in a relationship, man and woman in a relationship. Man and man is already off the table because man and man don't have intimate relationship. Woman and woman don't have intimate relationship. We're talking about sincere man and woman in relationship, dating, courting, thinking about marriage, whatever. In a bad relationship, there's a way out of that. In a bad relationship, You need to do some quick self-assessment. Is this ordained by God? Is this God's will? Because I'm having all these troubles. Well, you've gotten yourself in a mess is what you did. If you're to the place where you need to escape some terrible, what you did is you disobeyed some sincere commands and you got yourself entangled in a very, very flesh mess. You should not have got that intimate in the first place. You should not have intertwined your soul and your body to the point that now you're in desperation. No, you made some sincere, terrible decisions in the beginning and now you're in a terrible mess. But there is a way of escape. Oh no, but my heart will be broken. Yeah, it will. Uh-huh. And God will mend it later. But your way of escape is, it's going to be a tearing process. And that's why God doesn't want people to get connected until they get married. Because if you break up, you tear. Yes, that's exactly right. Your heart's going to be broken. Mm-hmm. Hurry up and do it. Hurry up and get your heart broken. Get your soul all goofed up so that you can start the restoration process tomorrow. Make the phone call tonight. No more talking, no more texting. It is over. Now, first of all, you might be the problem in the whole thing. So let's not ignore that fact. So your lukewarm, backslidden life is part of the trouble here. Let's not kid ourselves. Wait, was this part of the deal tonight? Is this okay to go there? Like, I don't have a whole plan for this tonight. I'm just going to do a little. This is supposed to be a quickie, so hurry up and listen. What happens is if you yoke to somebody, if you're really sincere about the Lord and you yoke to somebody that's not, you're going to have terrible trouble in the flesh. It is going to be a mess of a life for you. So you shouldn't have done that in the first place. You should have known that they were not walking with God like you. And you're not ever going to help anybody start walking with God like you. Oh, no, I'm going to be the one that helps them. No. They'll be the one that destroys you. That's the way it works. The one below always yanks down the one that's above. Always. So you made a terrible decision to do that in the first place. Now you simply, your way of escape is to simply obey the word of God. He said, do not be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever or somebody that doesn't walk like you. Somebody that is not spirit-filled, doesn't believe what you believe. It's going to be a terrible mess if they're not really sincere about Jesus. You need to know their church habits for like a long season. I'm not talking about church habit where they just showed up because you made them. I'm talking about church habits for a season where you see, man, they are serious about the Lord. Wonderful.
Come on, tell it.
You're examining from afar, not from intertwined. Okay, so your way of escape is simply obey the word of God. If somebody's walking wickedly, it's over before marriage. Now, after marriage, there's no way of escape. You're in it forever. I'm gonna explain marriage at the end. At the end, I'm gonna go back to marriage. Okay, I'm gonna go back to marriage at the end. But for now, there's no way of escape except to walk in love. Okay, you're gonna have to do it right before God in a marriage. That's it. That's your only answer. There's no escaping. We'll get back to that because there's some other things to say about it. Sure went quiet in here. They're like, oh my gosh. How about escaping a mean employer? My boss is so mean, I'm quitting. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't just automatically do that. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. Or I have a tough job, or my boss doesn't like me, or... you don't have to stay at the job forever, but you're going to have to do it right, I would say, before the Lord releases you.
Amen.
Like, if you're not going to do this right, I would say the will of God is you're not released yet. You mean God gets a say-so in where I work and what I like? Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, the way people are doing it these days is just so haphazardly. Ephesians chapter 6. I usually tell Brother Mike's story on this one, but I'll tell the short version of Brother Mike's story. A very precious story. He was praising God in church, and he was taken up to heaven, and he actually got to see two siblings in heaven. It was so precious to him. He tells the story. It's just a beautiful story. He's going to tell it again soon, I'm sure, because I asked him to. It's just such a blessing, such a blessing. And then he saw the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus said one thing to him. Ephesians 6:6, right? He said, read Ephesians 6:6. That's all he said. That's all the Lord says. He's in heaven. He could get a personal message. He could ask 1,000 questions. And the only thing that happened was Jesus quoted him a scripture. Didn't even quote it, just gave him the reference. And that's always blessed me because really, that's all you really need. You just need his word. People think they need some grand thing, God to show up and do all this thing against the devil and stuff. No, all you need is his word. All he did was tell him which word he needed. Just for that point in his life, he just needed one scripture. It's like, Lord, couldn't you have just told me every decade of scriptures I need? No, just one scripture will solve your problem. Ephesians 6, verse 5, bondservants, or we could say employees, servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling. Anybody that you're under authority, this is what it's talking about. It could be athletes and coaches, kids and teachers. It could be in church. It could be employer, parents. Be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers. Like kids shouldn't be good only when their parents are present. Employees shouldn't be good only when their bosses are watching. Not with eye service as men pleasers. You're not just pleasing people at work. You're not just trying to please your boss, like only staying late when he's watching. But as only staying till time to go while he's watching. But as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he's a slave or free, whether he's an employer or a boss. Notice this whole paragraph here is just talking about how you're supposed to act at work, how you're supposed to treat those who are above you in life. You got to do it from the heart as doing the will of God. Isn't that wonderful? Didn't hear a whole lot of amens in that. 1 Peter 2 says something very similar. Verse 18 says, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. Employees, be subject to your bosses with all fear, respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. You're supposed to be honorable, not only to the good bosses, but also to the bad ones. I would say if you can do this right for a good long season, you will get promoted by God. Yeah. Out of that job or out of that company or above your boss or in somewhere else. But if you don't do this, you will have to go repeat the same process somewhere else. You'll have to go prove out that you're willing to obey the word of God in a terrible condition or a tough, challenging condition. These are the ways of a Christian. You don't just instantly disappear because things are tough. Amen? Now, what about an unjust employer? Okay, well, you know, somebody that's doing something illegal, somebody that's not paying you, somebody that's treating you terribly, unjustly, I would say this. Number one, trust God to protect you. God will uphold you in your integrity. You just do it right and real. Trust God. Don't fret. You love your boss. You treat him better than he's ever been treated in his life or her. I mean, I'm talking about whatever you can do to heap coals of fire on his head. Be so loving and kind and so honorable and such a blessing at work. You're like they can't stand you because you're so good. You never gossip. You never talk. You never murmur. You can never complain. You never get angry, you never lose your temper, you never have to retaliate, you don't even have to win the arguments. I'm talking about you being so bright and lit up that people just can't stand it. Do that for a good long 6 months. 6 months? I wasn't even planning on working there from the start that long. Trust God to protect you. Trust God to pay you. Trust God to uphold you. And then follow the Spirit if you must leave at the appropriate time. Don't dare leave your job under emotional pressure.
Right.
Don't ever leave a job under anger. Don't ever leave a job because you're fed up and put out and all that.
Yeah.
Don't you do that. You cannot be led by emotion in this life and still get a good grade in heaven. Mm-hmm. You want treasure in heaven, you're going to have to obey God's will.
Right.
You have to do God's will from the heart.
That's right.
So this is how you escape the trouble. First, you cast all your care to the Lord and you go to work praying in tongues and you walk in with great grace, great love, great glory, and you have a great day at work in spite of the chaos and the mean and the evil and the haters. I don't care if another employee is lying about you, God will defend you.
Amen.
I'm talking about every condition you can think of. I've heard every story you can think of. I've helped so many people that come for advice and come for some counsel or wisdom on how to handle situations at work. And this always works.
Yes, it does.
I'm telling you, it's always worked. God will always honor His word. When He asks you to do something, He's behind it. You can trust Him. Just do it. You can trust Him. Don't put your personal emotion so far out in front that you're getting trampled on and can't handle it. Praise the Lord. Some people need to escape themselves. You're in bondage because of yourself. Your big trouble is yourself. You need to escape yourself. Some people think, oh, my life's such a mess, I just need to escape myself. Yes, you do. And you do that by submitting to God. You need to lay down your life. You're too selfish. That's the problem. You got self way too out in front. You're too selfish. You're too self-seeking. You're too self-conscious. You're too self-emotional. You're too self-defensive. Everything's about yourself.
Right.
What they did and what they didn't do and how they feel and how they treated me and what they did to me. I just can't believe my boss did that to me. Oh, please. Come on, that's for nurse. We teach this in the nursery. We teach this in the toddler room. We teach this in the children room. This is Christianity 101, you sound like a baby. Now, if you're a baby Christian, this is the first time you're hearing this, you know what we're expecting as you move along.
Yes.
Now you know what God's expecting in the summer. We'll give you till the summer. You can be a baby till the summer. But you're going to have to get over yourself before summertime, because part of this life with Christ, if you're going to succeed, is to lay down self.
Amen.
Take up your cross. Take up His will instead of your will. You can't be a self-seeker and a self-promoter and a self-defender and a self-protector. You're going to have to expose your heart to God and then just live for Jesus.
Amen.
And that means people aren't going to treat you right. There's going to be a ton of people in this life that don't treat you right. You cannot be offended by it. Well, I don't think they think very highly of me. Well, the truth is, they're probably not thinking about you at all. You'd be surprised how little people actually think about you. You don't need them to think highly of you. None of us need anybody else to think highly of them except the Lord. And that's a good tip for marriage. You don't need your spouse to think that highly of you. It's nice. They should try to find a way to think highly, because that's how Christians think about people. We're always thinking the best, but you should not need it.
Amen.
So spouses have to not need it from the other spouse if you're going to be happy. Every spouse has to be happy by themselves with God, regardless of how their spouse treats them.
Amen.
Now that's a whole other message. Do you have till midnight? Do you have till midnight, 2025, January? You got to pick these things up as we go along, because we don't have that much time to hammer it every single month or whatever. So you got to pick these things up and say, oh, that's how you apply the love walk. That's how you apply the take up your cross message. That, oh, now I see this apply. You can just kind of see how it applies to everything. If you can be happy at work with a bad boss, you can be happy at school with a bad teacher. You can be happy at home with a bad sibling. You can be happy. You can be full of God and full of joy and glory no matter where you're at, all the time, no matter the outside conditions. Even if you're in prison, in the stocks, in the coldness, naked, whatever it takes, glory to God. Let's sing a song. Hey, Silas, you want to sing a song? Let's sing a song. Come on, that's true Christianity right there. That's true Christianity right there. Most Christians miss it. They never get to experience the glory of God. Some of you ought to get arrested. Be put in the... No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Don't do that. Don't do that. I reversed that. I didn't mean that. If you did, it would be only for your faith. Only for your faith. Arrested only for your faith. Arrested only for our faith. That's where the rubber meets the road. And most of us could handle it, right?
Right.
If you were arrested for your faith,
yeah.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Man, I am going to get everybody saved in here.
Amen.
We're going to shake some prison gates here. We're going to make the earthquake. We're going to have a little fun. Even if you're in prison, have a good attitude. Come on, this is real Christianity. This is how it works. All right, so here we go. How about escaping debt? How about escaping some debt? Here's a scripture. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Oh, wait, you can't use that for debt. You can try it. I don't think it's going to work for you. God forgive us our debtors as we forgive those. I mean, forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Oh, I don't know about that one either. Okay. So I would say this, we'll do a little quickie. Go to 2 Kings 4 and we'll take a look. 2 Kings 4, you know, if you're in debt, people, you know, have debts that it's hard to pay. Now, maybe a mortgage or a car payment is not necessarily debt because you're able to pay it every month, but you still owe the money. But on the other hand, sometimes the debt's so big that you feel like you're never going to get out of it. So what are you going to do? You got to go to God. You got to ask the Lord. You got to find a way to trust God. Make your request to God. Trust Him to make a way out. And then you have to follow the Spirit. What does the Spirit say to you? I mean, or Dave Ramsey. Either the Spirit or Dave Ramsey can help you get out of debt. Now, just teasing. There are some great business wisdom principles and tips to help you naturally get out of debt. You need to make the decision, I'm getting out of debt. You're not supposed to owe people and not pay them back. Owe no man nothing. So if you owe somebody, you should be paying them back. Now, it can be a payment plan, so mortgage is not a sin. Mortgage is not a sin. Buying a car is not a sin, all that. Don't let people tell you it's a sin and put this undue pressure on you to feel like you're disobeying God. It's not a sin. Okay? Payment plan counts. Mortgage payments, you don't owe them because I paid them this month. See how that works? So borrowing money has never been a sin in the Bible. If it was, he said you'll be the lender, not the borrower. What does that mean? So you're gonna cause other people to sin by letting them borrow money? That would be wrong. If lending and borrowing was a sin, he wouldn't have said we can be the lender.
Amen.
So there's other teaching with that to help you realize that don't let people put pressure on you about having to borrow money for a house or a car or something legitimate.
Right.
Now don't go over your head in it. Be wise in it. So there's wisdom tips to help you not get into debt. And then pay your debt if you're in debt. So you don't have a credit card so that you can buy things you can't afford. That's not why you have a credit card.
Amen.
Dave Ramsey, he liked that one. I get a little I get a little point on that one. But you do need a credit card so that you can have an ease of transaction throughout your life. And for the dire emergency when you're out, you know, near El Paso in the desert and your car breaks down, I cannot bring you cash. We've had the people call the church, hey, my car broke down. Can somebody come bring me some money? Don't you have a credit card? No, no, no. Dave Ramsey said, don't have a credit card. If you have a credit card, pay it off at the end of the month. That's the point.
That's it. Amen.
There went my point. I had a point. I don't have a point anymore. But he did make it into our message. Brother Dave made it. He's a brother. He made it into our message. Praise the Lord. Where is 2 Kings chapter 4? 2 Kings chapter 4. Just hurry up and get debt free and you can holler it out here if you want to. 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 1. Okay, so a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha saying, your servant, my husband is dead and you know that your servant feared the Lord and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. And he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you've come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, and then pour it into those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. He said to her, there's not another vessel. So the oil ceased. And then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. That's it. Praise the Lord. She had a debt. She went to the man of God, who at the time was the only way you could get to God. And she heard back from God, heard back from the prophet, and then she obeyed what the prophet through the Lord said, or the Lord through the prophet said, and she obeyed that, and then all of a sudden, she has plenty, and her debt is paid, and then the rest of the story, we don't even get to see. It's over. Praise the Lord. You have a debt, go to the Lord, get the answer, do what he said, and then bam, there goes your debt, and you can live. Simple as that, right? First of all, though, notice what Elisha said. She has a big debt. He says, okay, well, what do you have? Anytime you have a need like this, God's going to look at what you do have. What seed could you plant? What beginning could you give? Because miracles happen by seed time and harvest. So what do you have? What kind of thing can we start? We got to start with something. Isn't that right? He did some other miracles. He's like, oh, there's death in the pot. There's poison in this pot of herbs you're boiling. Oh, he didn't just wave his hands. He said, what do you got? Give me some salt. Threw the salt in and said, now it's healed. Remember the axe head fell in the water? What did he do? He didn't just conjure up some power and like you see on the sci-fi movies. No, what did he do? He said, what do we got? We got to get this thing out of there. We got to put something in though. Here's a stick. Boom. Here comes the axe head floating. When you need a miracle, the Lord's going to say, what do you have? What is in your hand? He did that with Moses. He said, Moses, what is that in your hand? He said, a rod. Throw it down. A rod. Stretch it forth. What do you have to start this miracle? Simple as that. He asked her, what do you have? Oh, I got a little oil. He said, go get a whole bunch of barrels, as many as you can get. What a fun way to do it. And then she started pouring, and it never stopped. So the other principle you see is that before she could pour, she had to set the stage. She had to prepare. So if you're going to get a harvest of oil, you need to prepare. What's your preparation before you get the supply? God's going to pay the debt. How's he going to do it? You're going to have to dig a ditch before he can fill it with water. You're going to have to get some bank accounts before he can fill them. You're going to have to take a step of faith. You're going to have to make a plan so the money can come to it. So here's my, okay, it could be just a simple payment plan. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pay off this much this year, this much next year. Wow, we're going to go for it. And next year we're going to increase. Set a plan so God can fill it. Just a simple principle of dig the ditch before he can fill it with water. Amen?
Amen.
Some people make light that they should have got more vessels. Well, they could have, I guess. But there was no more vessels. They borrowed them from everybody. There's no more vessels. But it also says, don't be lazy. Like after you see how they didn't know how the miracle was going to come. They didn't know how this was going to work and what it was going to look like. So it's like, man, can we stop collecting vessels? After this all happened, I bet those sons were thinking, man, we should have gone to the other houses too. So have some faith and go big. Amen. Philippians 4:19, you know the scripture, my God will supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The Amplified says, my God will liberally supply, fill until full your every need. I mean, how much more clear could you get? So you and your spouse and your family, you and your friends, whoever it takes, or just by yourself, just get this in your heart. Say it every morning, believe it with all your heart until whatever debt is paid, whatever need you have is taken care of. God said he would take care of it and fill it until it was full.
Right. Thank you, Lord.
Some people still don't even have a savings account. How's he going to fill something you don't have? Why wouldn't you have a savings account? Well, because we don't have enough in the checking. If you have a low income problem, there's a lot of principles. There's a lot of money principles in the Bible. If you have a low income problem, there's a lot of money principles that you need to put into practice, particularly 7. There's a book. Prosperity, 7-link chain. It's in the faith store. It's right in there. You can just go get it. It's from that guy. But you're going to have to. The 7 principles, you're going to have to, number one, you have to work, like sincerely. Number two, you're going to have to get rid of the poverty mentality.
Amen.
You grew up with poverty mentality where you never had enough, you never saw enough, you're always penny pinching, you're always cheating, you're always trying to do it the short way, you're always looking at never having enough. You're going to have to get rid of that. You're going to have to learn how to give. You're going to have to be a giver. You're going to have to be generous. You're going to have to give to God. You're going to have to give to people. You're going to have to let it flow out of you liberally. Or you'll never have enough. You'll never have enough. Ever, never, never, never have enough. And then you're going to have to stop worrying about money. That usually is the stopper right there. You have to stop worrying and dreading and being too concerned and overly concerned and overly thinking about money. And then number 5, you're going to have to learn how to invest. You're going to have to learn how to invest. You're going to have to learn how to save and invest your money. Because if you don't know how to put your money to work for you, you don't deserve to have more. Really, if you don't know what to do with money and why you have money, God cannot trust you with much more. Remember when he gave the 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent? And the guy with 1 said, I was scared, didn't do anything with mine. He said, give me yours. I'm going to give it to the guy that knows what to do with money. Very simple principle. Then number 6, you're going to have to know how to harvest by faith. You're going to have to harvest. You're going to have to harvest by faith. You're going to have to dig the ditch. You're going to have to set a plan. You're going to have to have a project, have a faith project, get God in on it, begin to declare, begin to say, and expect that God fills it. You're going to have, you know, some real faith, put the sickle in. You're going to have to do something by faith before ever there's a harvest. And then the 7th principle is wisdom. You're going to have to apply all these money principles you find in the Bible by not bribing people, by not penny pinching on people, by not being oh, that's not worth anything. And then you buy it and you go and say, look, the deal I got. Just little simple stuff about working and about paying people on time and just the way you think about money and the way you handle money and the way you give money to God first and all these principles. And if you're not doing those, you're not wise. And if you're not wise, you will not be rich. This is when the whole crowd should be going, amen. But this is your answer. This is your way of escape. This is God's way to say, here's how I'm going to help you get out of this low-income battle that you're facing all the time. I call it the quiet desperation concerning financial future. Christians should find a way to end that quiet desperation of, I don't have enough. I hope I have enough. I hope when I retire I have enough. I don't think I'm going to have enough. The government, you know, Uncle Sam is this and Uncle Sam is that and Social Security this and all this and this and this and this. Listen, if you're not retired yet, you're going to have to get on it. If you are retired, you're going to have to get on it. Let God do a miracle in your retirement when there's no hope for any extra income. What? There's no hope? Oh, yeah, it's impossible. Impossible? Praise the Lord. If you're in debt, here's another way to get out of debt. Go to the one you're in debt to and make the request, forgive me my debts. Get with God, pray in the Spirit, hook up, ask God when to say it, how to say it, and approach the company or the person and say, is there any possible way you could please forgive me of my debt? Because the fellow in Matthew 18 did it. The servant fell down before him saying, Master, have patience with me, I'll pay you all. And the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. Amen. God can get involved in stuff like that. Every time somebody's in deep debt, I say, call them, call the company, and tell them that you need that relieved. You can't pay it. Say, I need this relieved. They do it all the time with the hospitals. You have to ask. You have to ask sincerely. I say get God involved before you make the phone call, but then trust that something will happen for you. And if they say no, say, how about half? Or how about 90%? Can you do 90%? Okay, 90% is fine. You pay the 10%. You can always ask. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Your tongue might be, your mouth might be the problem for your low income. If you're finding a hard time getting the money, it might be your mouth, it might be your perspective, it might be your heart, it might be just you're not doing it the faith way, and your mouth will get you in deep trouble. Is your perspective abundant, or is it factual? Well, the facts are, well, I don't care about the facts. How abundant is your heart concerned? Is your heart plentiful or pessimistic, prosperous or poor? Because prosperity never begins on the outside with money. It begins on the inside with the way you think and talk. Some of you need to go home. It's time to go get the kids. I never got to the marriage. Okay, let me end. I'll end with just a few. I'll do them quickly. Some of you need to escape grief. You do that with the Word of God. He bore your griefs, carried your sorrows. Okay, it's time to get out of that. It's time to escape the grief. There's a time to grieve with a stable heart, sure. Time to grieve, but then if you feel like you're in bondage to it, you got to escape it. And you do it by trusting the cross. Just like sickness and disease, he bore your griefs, carried your sorrows, and by his stripes you're healed. Some people need to escape from their kids. And if your kids are under 18, I'm sorry, you can't escape them. You have to be responsible for them. Some people need to escape from adult children, I would say 18 or over, who are not being good house roommates. They're dishonoring the parents. They're harming the household instead of helping. And you need to escape that. There's got to be something that happens there. After a grace period, after instruction, after command, after gentleness, after wisdom, not doing anything in anger, with calmness, gentleness, and great, great mercy, we've given great, great grace period here. We've asked and we've commanded, you're not being a good roommate, and so here's the deadline. If you're not going to contribute to this home and be a good roommate as an adult, then something's going to have to happen. What could happen? Well, no mother wants to do this, but sometimes the mother needs to yield to the father. That's another message. If you have any questions, you can call or email. But I've seen it harm. I've really seen this harm families. Not only harm the parents and the rest of the siblings, but it's harmed the kids. It's harmed the adult children who are rebellious. It's harmed them because no one said no. No one put the pressure and responsibility on them in the name of, but I care so much I couldn't bear to see you. What, be an adult? Have to make adult decisions? So you're going to have to use some wisdom and follow. What are you looking for? What are you looking for if you need some escape? If you need trouble to stop? If you need help? What are you looking for? The will of God. The will of God. And if somebody is in your life that close that's not in the will of God, you're going to have to find a way. But you can't escape your marriage, okay? Except in the case of infidelity or certain types of abuse. There is no escape from the marriage scripturally, okay? So what that means is you can get out of marriage. I mean, hey, you just go to the courthouse, no problem. You just file the thing, no problem. People can do that. But if you want God involved and you want to do it to please the Lord, you could never escape your marriage until you've, number one, mastered the love walk in your own life. Submitted to God, have a healthy spirit. We don't ever like to see people get divorced if their spirit's not healthy. You have to be healthy on the inside. You have to have a happy heart toward God and your spouse, the one that you're thinking of leaving. You have to have a happy heart towards your spouse. You have to have totally forgiven them. And you're only following the spirit because of the infidelity or the abuse. That's the only legal grounds. You have to do this perfectly right. And you're not following your emotions or your flesh or the devil. Make sense? Now, that's a whole teaching. People have 100 questions, but I want to just say this here and there so you can recognize this is what you do in marriage. You get yourself right. In marriage, you walk in love right. You get tenderness going, or you're not even in a place to hear from God. You're looking for the will of God. There is no out. There's no escape if you're married. That's why we help people before you get married. You make sure this is the will of God. And if you can say green light, will of God, for sure, I'm getting married, then in 5 years and 10 years, it was the will of God.
Right.
And so then you don't think, oh, I got to get out of this. I need an escape. No. You made the choice. It was the will of God. You obeyed God. This is God's will. But I didn't know this was coming. He knew it was coming. And all he needs you to do is walk in love and get yourself right. Be kind and gentle and forgiving towards your spouse and be a wonderful, wonderful Christian towards your spouse. And that's all he asks of you. Yeah, but they're not. He never said anything about what they were going to do. He only wants you to do what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be a model Christian,
right?
A lover of God and a lover of people and a blesser of your spouse. And if you're not blessing an evil spouse, then you're failing. You're supposed to bless the evil spouse. Your spouse is the Tasmanian troublemaker. All God asks of you is bless them. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for those that despitefully use you and abuse you. Love your enemies. That's my enemy. Love your enemies. People sitting there going, I don't know if the pastor's right about this. If we're going to pull out, if I can pull out the Bible, sorry, I have to bring the Bible into it and everything. Listen, I'm sorry I have to bring the Bible into it, but only the Bible is more powerful than your emotions. Only the Word of God is more powerful than what you're feeling. What you're feeling is so unbelievably heavy and powerful to you. It feels like there's no way out. There's a way out.
Amen.
And the way out is for you to get yourself right using the Word of God. So the only thing that's more powerful than your emotions is you quoting this out loud. When you're in a time of stress and chaos and strain, you're going to have to go quote the scripture to yourself and walk in love and walk in love and be imitators of God and walk in love and walk in love and be kind and be gentle and be patient and be long-suffering and be... Say it, you got to say it out loud. It's the only thing that can override your emotions. It's the way of escape right here. You're going to have to get it in your heart and say it out of your mouth and get it in your heart and say it out of your mouth, and all of a sudden you'll be doing the will of God. And if you'll commit to this, then in times when the Spirit needs to tell you which company to go apply at, you'll hear that. But if you never can commit to this word, you'll never hear this one. Kind of goes hand in hand. Wonderful, huh?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Everybody needs to escape something, so go ahead and do it.
Thank you for joining Pastors Chaz and Joni today from Houston Faith Church. If you're looking for a good home church in Houston, Texas, we'd like to invite you to be our guest anytime. What you'll find is the Houston Faith Church is highly committed to the Word of God, the love of God, and the Spirit-filled life and ministry that Jesus expects. We know that everyone wants to make a difference in this life, and that the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ is the main thing for all of us. You'll find your purpose here and grow strong in faith at Houston Faith Church. Find more faith-building resources on our YouTube channel or subscribe to our free audio podcast. You can also connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. See you soon.